clock hour
of Wilde and Tausch begins now. A couple things from the YouTube comments before we get to more of your calls. And I think this is a good point that, I'll be honest, I don't always think long-term about decisions, etc., when it comes to the Packers. Brandon McManus is 34 years old.
It's old.
It is, especially for the Green Bay Packers. Now, whether or not that's old for a kicker, that's another discussion. Lucas Havrasik just turned 26.
8 years difference.
So, again, 12, small sample size.
Why did he get cut by the Rams?
Because he missed too many kicks. Huh. But that was 2 years ago.
I don't think we want to crown him. The reason I want to keep him.
Right.
I'm not crowning. It's too early
to crown. I understand. We have an extensive track record of premature crowning.
I disagree.
Really?
No. I am not a I don't think it's been a ton of premature crowning.
How many Final Fours has Badger men's basketball been to?
More than Bradley.
Isn't the point?
Sick comeback,
yeah,
bro.
Good one, yeah.
Is it not
snap.
True?
Like, the point is, you said back-to-back years at the same
I said
day
if they played in Milwaukee. Stop taking off. You have to put it all in the
later, you weasel.
I put it in. It had to be through Milwaukee, and they lost to Penn State, and they didn't get it. So don't get me out about that.
Most important one seed, the history of one seeds.
I agree with that.
Defensive player of the year, Jair Alexander.
And he should have been.
Brewers going to be a World Series team in 2025.
They should have been.
But they weren't.
I didn't say
point.
That. I never once said that they were. I said we should start acting like we are. Turns out we weren't.
That is how it turned out. And we know you just admitted earlier in today's program that you prematurely crowned the defense. You used that phrase, man.
I did.
And we did it with Jordan Love
now,
in 2023.
You did it with Jordan Love. I did not.
You did
not
so.
Not to the same degree, no.
You put money on him winning the MVP this year.
Yeah, this season. And he's sitting right there ready to
still,
go take
still
it.
Still feeling good.
Right. Okay, so if I could get back to more calls.
I just don't want to be like crab and crab bisque. I don't want to be lumped in. Don't be lumping me
crab
in.
Crab bisque? What do you think of lumped in? You think of lump crab.
You have like
and
a tomato basil soup
crab
and you
bisque.
Don't. Yeah. You throw, because crab is, it's the weirdest thing, but it's considered lumped when you throw it in the soup. Lumps of crab. And I don't want to be lumped.
I'm not sure that that's, okay.
Just like Lumpy Heron doesn't want to be lumpy.
Yeah. And his sister Alyssa. So, how exactly and what is the end game for your Lucas Havrasik stashing? Is it purely to acquire a draft pick for him? When you no longer need him, or do you view it as, hey, maybe we keep him around because older kickers sometimes fall off the table, and then we have an option. Everybody's got backups everywhere else. Kicker, punter, long snapper usually don't. What is your end game on him, if there is one in your mind?
I will develop, and continue to be the insurance policy that he's been. And if he keeps kicking and making... Old boy was kind of telling him, go make some money. Well, he might be taking that money out of your pocket.
Right.
That's the risk you take. So if he keeps making kicks, it's going to be like the, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be like the J.J. McCarthy situation up in Minnesota. Yeah, take another week. Oh, you sure your ankle's good? Well, we need you to go play hopscotch on loose rocks just to make sure that it's good.
Jeez. Okay.
So I don't want to use the term stash, but I am keeping him until the roster is exhausted if you need from an injury standpoint. Because right now, they don't even have 53 dudes on the active roster. So he's staying with me until we are in dire straits and we need someone else to be elevated. I'm not doing anything unless somebody comes. If the Giants, after they miss two extra points, come to me and say, I'll give you a sixth for him today. I'm going to do that if old boy can kick this week and he's healthy. Outside of that, nope.
Let's get back to the calls. Got a lot of people waiting. None of them is named Lucas Havrisik. Let's go to Justin in San Diego, who was at the game in Phoenix yesterday, or Glendale. Justin, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great. Yourselves?
We're awesome. Thanks for waiting so long. What do you got for us?
So I just want to say hopscotch on loose rocks. That is some of your finest work ever, Tausch.
Appreciate it. Really, really I knew good. You'd like that. By the way, anything from these two knuckleheads. I just throw gold at these guys, and they well, not, you've huh. gotten – You guys have
First of all,
jaded.
You heard me.
You guys
you
have
heard
gotten
me
jaded,
laughing.
So thank you.
You
Continue
heard me
with your point.
You heard me jaded. Laughing about the hopscotch on
you're
loose
jaded.
Rocks. I would ask you, since you're now searching for further feedback on your brilliant line that Justin likes so much, how do you chalk out the squares on loose rocks?
You get a can of spray paint. It's not that hard.
Oh, now we need a can of spray paint for a loose rock. Hopscotch.
Yeah.
Justin, the floor is yours.
All right. Positives. Our fans. If you have not gone to an away game at a fan base that sucks, like the Cardinals or the Jaguars or the Titans or
Chargers.
The Panthers, please put it in your docket.
Yep.
Yeah, it reinvigorates you as a Packer fan. We took that place over. Second positive. We won. We won a gritty game. I don't feel like we stole a game. I always thought we were going to win. But it was definitely like winning in the league is hard. We won. And our studs showed up, unlike the Brewers, right? Micah broke out. Jacobs was sick, played his butt off. Love, look at Love the last three games in the fourth quarter. Look at those stats. Like, really impressive, leading critical drives in critical moments to win games or tie in Dallas, sadly. So our big performers, our big studs are performing. And then penalties. Like, there's a lot of dumb penalties early, but late. When they were driving in the fourth quarter, me and my friends were like, oh, my God, we're going to have a holding or something stupid on defense. We didn't have a bad, dumb penalty at the end. So those are my positives. My negatives are, like, two things can be true at once, right? Like, I always tell my kid, yeah, everybody makes mistakes. You know, it's okay to make mistakes. But you got to quit hitting your sister for the 97th time, right? Like, two things can be true. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy we won. But LaFleur, man, LaFleur is just killing me. This is the I'd say 4 weeks now since the Browns game that we have not showed up ready to play. And that is an indictment on coaching. Like, he doesn't seem, he just gets so cute in so many dumb moments. We went for it at fourth down a couple times. In the third down plays where we would hand it off on third and seven and we get 2 yards, like, what is he doing? And there's just multiple times where he's doing dumb things. Secondly, we have a great record. Are we a great team? I expect more from them. I think it's good that we're not playing our best football right now. But I'm waiting to see us ascend, and I'm just waiting to see what's happening. And then lastly, the defense. I was the guy that called you guys like 3 weeks ago, and I told you the comp for this team for me was the 2011 and 2007 Giants because they had a killer front four with, like, Strahan, O.C. Umanyora, Justin Tuck, Jason Pierre-Paul, but the rest of the D stunk. And you pushed back a bit, Tauch. I'm seeing more and more of that comp because what happened to our linebackers? Like, you know, they were the fastest guys flying around, Coop and Quay. And then look at Todd McBride yesterday just picking up every 7-yard pass ever. And if you look at tight ends against the pack, something's wrong with the middle of the defense. I don't know if we need to move Dobbs or what's his name, the guy that we signed out of the Raiders.
Jason Hobbs.
Or Keyshawn back in the slot. Hobbs, yeah. Something's got to change with the middle. And then the back end of the secondary, like, Goody scoured the waiver wire for Rasul Douglas a few years ago. You know, practice squad. Look at what else is out there. Try something different. Because we're getting torched on the back end. I still love the front end, but something's just up with the D, and I can't figure it out. It doesn't feel like Halfley. It feels like the guys aren't performing. So that's what I got.
All right.
Justin, great call. I know Tausch likes to get after me for correcting people. I'm not doing that here. I got a kick out of this, though, because I did it myself on the air yesterday. Trey McBride is the tight end for the Cardinals. Todd McBride with one D. Which was always one of my favorites.
Old defensive back.
It's a former Packers
G&G.
Defensive back. Yep. And I did the same thing.
You two
Todd
are like twins.
McBride.
I love the initial point about the fans overtaking the stadium.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you, as a player, there is nothing sweeter than going down to Tampa or Arizona, and you found a way to win a game, and when that crowd would start the Go Pack Go chant in
uh-huh.
their stadium, it was sweet. It is
just
sweet.
For the record, Jacoby Brissett said after the game, They went silent count all game in their own stadium.
Yeah. That
I thought
cannot
it was 50, be positive.
I thought it was a 50-50 split crowd-wise, and I'm sure they didn't anticipate. They should, because they know better. And the Chargers, it's such a huge disadvantage for these teams that their fan bases just don't care.
Well, yeah, but it's those teams' fault for not being more competitive, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it?
I didn't think Cardinals fans are known as being, like, bad fans.
It's transient. I'd say they're transient. And I'll give them credit. We played them the week before the playoff game, and it was like Packer-palooza. And then the playoff game, Cardinal fans showed up and showed out loud. Now, we put up a 45-burger on them, and it didn't matter because we gave up a 51-burger. But whatever the case may be, it's awesome. And Green Bay knows. Like, our players know it. There's some fan bases that people, they're the best fans in the world. No. That's all. Like, if the Chargers, if Jimmy Harbaugh
that's
gets
cute.
Up, if Jimmy Harbaugh gets up there and says, these Charger fans are the best, Jimmy, you're full of blank. Or if old boy Gannon gets up there and says that, come on now, you know better. You know better. So it's an awesome plus that the G&G have, and we utilize it well.
All right, speaking of the best fans, we have the best fans. And so Caddy Joe, Gene, and Patrick have all stayed on hold. We will get to all of their calls in the next segment. Thank you for your patience. Tausch, at the game, not yesterday, but the previous game at Lambeau Field, I saw Tito's Vodka up on the scoreboard. Up on the scoreboard.
Tito's is everywhere.
You're an early adopter.
Absolutely, Tito's is everywhere, and tell you what, when you're out celebrating a Rose Bowl championship, celebrating wins, if you're having a Bloody Mary at a brunch, you want to go boo in a bar, and you want to mix it with something, it's going to be Tito's that you're going to mix because it is the best. Tito's goes great with everything that you're looking to have, and you know what? You know, not only just about great drinks. Tito's gives back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. I got to be honest, got to see our great friend Courtney from Tito's. She's a rock star.
She is amazing.
She's starting to, I can tell, she's trying to help Eleanor. She gave us a Tito's dog dish.
Woof.
She gave us a Tito's dog dish.
Wait a minute. Now, I gave you a Tito's sign about how they love dogs.
Yeah.
I got you leashes.
No, I know.
It's still gone unused now.
Yep.
Oh,
no,
I left Courtney them. Brings the dog dish. Well,
I left those up at the Tundra Trio next to that great painting that I gave you.
One of those was a great gift. The other
wasn't. I don't know about that. It depends on the eye of the beholder. But celebrate responsibly. Craft it to be savored responsibly. Don't be jumping in my reads like that. You can give a quip. You don't get to full sentences. We start doing full sentences during reads now. It's quips only. Don't you understand? Let me finish. Craft it to be savored responsibly.
Did you tell you interrupted yourself?
Yeah, it's a weird deal.
A full sentence to yourself? All right, we need to get to a few more calls. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
One of our most loyal YouTubers is John in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments. He likes to give me a hard time for responding only to negative people, which is fair criticism.
You're a positive guy. No, you're a positive guy, though.
I am. I'm.
PJ. Let's start calling him PJ.
No.
PJ.
Will Wildy and Tausch even mention Shohei Ohtani's performance against the Brewers?
Whoa, Nelly!
I mean, we could. It was impressive. It's like that line in Major League. Last time I pitched to this guy, he hit a ball that hasn't landed yet. And then there's like a deleted scene from that film where they're at the restaurant and he says, no, don't worry, that ball wouldn't have been out of a lot of ballparks. And then he says, name one. And he says, Yellowstone.
That's funny now.
I mean, I have never seen with these eyes a ball hit that hard and that far. That was amazing. But beyond that, what is there to say? Jesse told us it was Rap City as soon as he went to the Dodgers.
Who would have guessed that Jesse would be ahead of the curve?
Kind of feels that way at the moment. He was wild. He was roundly criticized and heckled for that take.
Well, it's over. Ohtani's going to the Dodgers. Huh?
Well, first they got to figure out who they're playing. Well,
in fairness, he was hitting like a $105 before that game. So let's not act like he was carrying the load. He obviously carried it in game four, but come on now.
Come on now.
Isn't it amazing? All that stuff that he had off the field just vanished. Isn't that an amazing little quip?
Well, they found the perpetrator.
I'm sure, his
interpreter.
Allegedly. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to make sure I throw allegedly five times and let's move it along.
Let's wrap up our call, sir. Let's start with Caddy Joe in West Bend.
I think Pablo, what's the guy's name? Pablo Torres.
Iglesias?
He should be
Samari Torre.
I would think he finds a lot of stuff. That might be a spot to go snoop around. You know what I mean?
Now I'm also starting to take
allegedly,
Tausch is giving requests to Pablo Torres.
Does he have his own show or how does that? I don't even know what is.
I mean, Pablo Torre finds out.
I didn't love the secret cameras stealing that stuff.
All right. So I really want to get to these calls.
You brought it up.
I didn't.
You brought up the secret taping.
You brought up Ohtani from John in the YouTube comments.
I was ready to get to calls.
No one was wanting to talk Ohtani.
If you're gonna dump on people that are working on your project with you and your 24-year-old girlfriend and talk negatively about them the way they did, that's going to come back on you.
I'm just saying.
You got to watch the video. The people who clearly leaked it to him were the people that he was saying all kinds of crap about, spurred on by his girlfriend.
Okay, I missed it. I'll have to check.
Well, you got to watch the video.
When Pablo gets the Shohei stuff and everything else, I'm going to. He puts a lot of interesting stuff up.
A lot of opinions on the Badgers. Please ask Tausch about the incomparable punter Sean West and how he had an all-timer on Saturday.
That was a phenomenal play.
Chariot following up with his UW getting to the point like Iowa where their best player is the punter. We're not going to address that. We're going to take more calls.
It's going to take a while to read that letter that was posted this morning, so we'll probably talk Badgers extensively tomorrow. No.
Okay.
Caddy Joe in West Bend has waited a long time. Caddy Joe, hi.
Hey boys.
How are you, Caddy?
Hey, I'm good. How's your game?
Struggling.
It's his knee.
I got one quick little bit of advice. Do you lock your pinkies? Do you go thumbs down?
I do not. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Yep.
Move your right thumb to the left, an eighth inch. It'll do wonders.
All right, I will do that.
Everything.
I have a slice. Anyway, can you help me with that while you're here?
Yep. Move your right thumb an eighth inch to the left. Your grip is everything in golf. It starts there.
Okay. Words to live by.
Blackjack and golf. There. I think we got a little something going here. We got some.
Never know what you're going to get here.
A couple different things brewing.
That's the tip of the day. Move your right thumb over.
Love it.
Eighth inch. All right.
And hit on 12.
Positive, negative. Kind of an oxymoron. I think our positives and my negatives are the same because they're not playing great, but they're winning games. It's early in the year. I think what we see between week 12 and 17 is going to be a whole different team. So I like that part. There's a lot to coach up. Yet you're winning. That's a positive, right?
I would think. Winning is usually good, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that people are kind of getting down on this, that. But they're winning games, and they're not even playing their not even close to their best ball yet. That's
what we hope, yeah. That's what we hope. We hope they're not playing their best.
Negative. We got these two kickers. That's great. Do you guys think, did you watch after they scored that touchdown? They kicked off, got a penalty, and the Cardinals had the ball like inside the 50 on a kickoff.
Yeah, it was a long
face
return.
Mask. Face mask. It was supposed to be called on Hopper, but they called it on Isaiah McDuffie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I had some Coors Light to me, but I saw that. But that's what I mean.
Nice. On brand.
If we can just, like, on these kickoffs, either get it in the landing zone and not get the ball at the 30, 35 all the time, or the 45, their 45, a good team would have taken advantage of that, a better team, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got two kickers, so, Tosh, two things.
Yep.
I think you're right. Keep that kicker until you get something for him.
Yep.
You never know what's going to happen with Madness. Nothing wrong with having two kickers.
Okay, I agree.
Also, that hopscotch thing, that's gold, Jerry.
Appreciate you.
Gold.
It is so nice that we have fans that will, because I'm telling you, it's irritating. It's like when you have a lake house and you look out in that lake, it's beautiful. Oh, uh-huh. What a great vista. And then after about 2 months, you're like, you just start taking it for granted.
You feel like you're taken for granted by us?
That's you too. Maybe we should pick up a third kicker that is good at putting it in the loading zone there.
The loading zone.
I can't even get Jesse to listen to the show. He's wolfing down his third donut back there.
What are you doing? You're sitting down?
He's mailed it in.
I'm going to need you to hit another button.
He's licking his fingers. Well, I'll tell you what, whoever's coming in to produce next is really going to be happy with old Jelly Donuts licked up fingers hitting every button around there.
Those little remnants of the jelly.
He got a little donut. Oh, I can't.
Go poo in a donut shop.
I can't hit this button. There's too much glaze.
Go boo in a bar.
Go boo in a casino or go boo in a donut shop.
Go boo at the UU noodle bar. If you can't get him to say that tonight, I'm going to be really disappointed in you.
All right, we got two more calls. Can we please get to them?
I'd like to retire Jelly Donut immediately.
That was amazing. Let's go to Gene in Sun Prairie. Gene, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting with our nonsense. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great, guys. And I have a quick story for you about Dodger Stadium. Ooh. I was lucky enough to go to the 1978 World Series before you guys were born, when the Yankees played the Dodgers. And that game I saw was one of the incredible performances by Reggie Jackson. Mm. He hit three home runs during that game. And that was just a really exciting thing to see. We were along the first baseline. And Ohtani is now taken over as the great hitter. But to see Jackson perform back then was really amazing. And I'm pretty sure the Yankees ended up winning that series. But Dodger Stadium's an electric environment.
Mr. October.
So, yeah, he was incredible.
You're so predictable.
But that was a good one. But I do have a quick positive I wanted to share.
Yeah.
I think to really feel like the special teams you can watch and not hold your breath the whole time was really nice. You know, to have Haversick in there as the sub, he kicked that and set a record. What was it, 61?
Yep, 61 yards there. Yep.
You know, I think if he would have kicked again, he could have hit it all the way to Edinburgh, probably.
That's
a good one. I would prefer that he kicked it to Edinburgh, personally.
Well, that's in Illinois, right?
Nicely done. Gene, great call. Do you have anything else? Because I'd like to keep you longer.
Sure. Just a quick negative. I've been following Aaron Rodgers the last few weeks, and all of the people that analyze him say he's been really good with his quick release. He's getting rid of it in 2.5 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be trouble for our defensive backs. They're going to have to figure out how to keep it out of Metcalf's hands, how to keep it out of the other tight ends.
Because
I don't think the defensive line is going to have time. He's going to get rid of it before they get to him. So I'm not sure what the strategy Halfley is going to cook up to counter that.
Now, first of all, great call. Secondly, I can guarantee you this. There is no way in God's green earth that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take the arrogant and misguided approach that the Arizona Cardinals took with Paris Johnson and whoever their right tackle is, of singling up their tackles on Micah Parsons. And Tausch mentioned this earlier. This is one of the aspects of the game that we did not probably cover sufficiently today. He was stunned that they did that. And he had 10 pressures and 3 sacks because they had a galactically stupid game plan against him. And while Jacoby Brissett, I think, is a better player than he has ever gotten credit for, he has been, like, we think Malik Willis is a good backup, and he is. But this guy's shown it in multiple stops that he can win when he's your backup. He did a great job of getting the ball out of his hand quickly for a lot of the game, but what happened as soon as he held it? Boom. There was Micah Parsons on top of him.
Well, I threw that touchdown right before the half, too. He held it for a while.
He did.
I couldn't believe what was and I actually think Micah going out for that one snap and then coming back in is actually genius. Because, you know, not that he was tired, but I don't know if maybe their coordinator didn't see it or if they didn't realize it. But, yeah, that was coaching negligence 101 right there.
Agreed. All right, let's get to our final call.
What if their right tackle went over to the coach after the game like old boy did when he dropped the ball? You never do that, but you get my point.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I'm not here to tell right guards how to behave, but when the right tackle gets beat for the final sack, the right guard starts yelling at the right tackle. And I kind of wanted to say to the right guard, hey, you try to block that guy one-on-one, and we'll see how that goes. Because I thought that was interesting. Not that any of your guards would have ever done that to you, by the way. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Patrick in Minneapolis. Patrick, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. Thanks for holding on so long. You get the floor to close out our calls today. What do you got?
Oh, wow. Big
no
shoes
pressure
to fill here.
Yeah,
no kidding. You guys might remember I'm a distance runner. And so in a marathon, right, at some point, you are going to get punched in the face. It's a given. It is not going to be
by, like, somebody watching the race.
I think marathons were a contact sport.
It's physical out there.
I thought they just gave you bananas.
I thought you guys were well-versed and familiar with analogy.
I love it. I love it. I think he meant more. Guys, hey, let me explain it to them, Patrick. I think he meant more like the mental toll of running 26.2.
Heartbreak.
Not like some water dude throwing water at him and then hitting him with a right cross.
Bonk.
I'm sorry I had to explain that to these two. All right, continue.
God, what would we do without Tausch?
Wow. Exactly. So, you know, your training, though, is what helps you practice absorbing those punches, so that you're calloused and battle tested when you race. Yesterday, the Packers absorbed the punches. They didn't lie down. They didn't roll over. They fought. They found a way. And regardless of the quality of the competition, you know, that matters both for yesterday's game and for how they move forward, provided that they can keep learning from their mistakes, shore up gaps. We talk about, you know, the team having an identity, something they can hang their hat on. I don't know who they are just yet, but I feel good knowing that they're maybe getting to know themselves better through overcoming adversity, absorbing those punches together, and I'm eager to see how they choose to shape their own identity in the coming weeks and months.
Patrick, great call, great analogy. What's the appropriate age for someone to start training for a marathon? I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for Matt.
For
53.
Sure. I would say wait till college. Okay. I'm not sure high schoolers need to be, especially if they're on a team. They're training. Their focus needs to be on the on the 5Ks for cross country.
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page with that and getting punched in the face during a marathon. Thanks for the call, buddy.
You're welcome.
When Jesse hung up on him.
God, that was another awkward silence. But luckily it happened later in the show. I have to ramp it up.
I appreciate you filling it, though, because that's what you do well.
Somebody had to. Joel Jelly just...
He's doing us.
He's trying to wipe the glaze off all the buttons. For Hunter.
We'll see if Jesse can recover from his donut eating to preside over Whoa Nelly. Next, brought to you by Duncan. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Take my heart.
says, Mr. Fantasy in our ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says, time for old Jelly to do Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
The Brewers season came to an end at the hands of Shohei Ohtani and the Los Angeles Dodgers on Friday night.
It sure did.
This is just what you anticipated when you made that proclamation 2 years ago, right?
Kinda. Doesn't feel as disappointing as an end to a Brewers season as many of the other ones
have.
Because
they got swept.
I think it's because they got swept and dominated in all four games,
they did.
And
mm-hmm.
they had advanced in the playoffs. And it's not,
as we
have learned as Brewers fans, it's not easy to win a playoff series at all, let alone advance to be one of the final four teams left in it. So,
are you saying you would rather have lost this way than have lost Game 7 at AmFam Field?
If you lose a Game 7, like, the way they lost to the Mets in Game 3 last year, that was far more excruciatingly disappointing than the way that they lost to Ohtani and the Dodgers this year. I mean, when you get dominated the way that they did with the starting pitching and the bats going cold, like, it's kind of a slow death in a way, but it's also like you're braced for it. Like, we pronounced, you know, Dunzo the Clown showed up here on Friday morning and there was still a game left to go, and he was exactly right. Like, it just it felt more like the Packers losing in the NFC Championship game to the Falcons
with Gooch at guard
than it did to the Seahawks in 2014.
That's fair.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm disappointed the Brewers aren't going to win a World Series this year, of course. We talked plenty about that on Friday's show. But it felt easier to cope over the weekend with the Brewers' season coming to an end the way that it did. Do you agree?
No. I had tickets for tonight's game. I was excited to go down. It makes
you get
me
a refund
sad.
On that?
I think that's how that works, right?
Yeah, the digital tickets. So.
I think it makes me a little sad because this was the best team we've ever had when it comes to record, and the fact that I think Jesse speaks for a lot of Brewers fans. It's aw, shucks. Like, we're just not good enough to beat this team, and that's okay. Are we ever going to get over the hump? I don't know. This seemed like a pretty good year to do it. And you're right, we were dominated. We couldn't hit. Should we have done something different? I saw something the other day after we got beat. And in essence, it was the Dodgers are basically trying to ruin baseball, and the Milwaukee Brewers are trying to trade their starting pitcher that makes $8 million a year. That's the difference of where we're at. So it is disappointing. I think most of us, you just wonder what's next. Because it's so hard for these when you have to constantly tinker with your roster and keep replacing your veterans that you want in those postseason games. You have to continue to maneuver and hope that young players will elevate and get up there. And there's a lot to be bright future, as Jeff Passan said, just the start of this 5-year run. But there's just something so – it just felt like we kind of pittered out, and that made me a little bit bummed.
Agreed.
Yep. Well, what do you have in there? It looks like spray deodorant. Which would be an odd choice.
I'm drinking spray deodorant with my jelly donut.
Jesse, did you want to get to the Badgers during your Whoa Nelly, or are we out of
time? No, I'm still reading that letter from McIntosh.
Gosh darn it.
It's Barnwellian. We'll have to get to that tomorrow.
Have we booked the Badgers outsider for tomorrow?
We have not. Should we?
I would like to have, if he's willing to join us, and because we're kind of in a tough spot these days.
How about the Brewers or the Badgers Radio Network analyst?
No, I don't want to put. He does a really good job. As much as I'd love to have him, we'll have to save him for after the Oregon game.
Haven't had him on at all this year.
We'll have him on after he gets back from Oregon. We will wrap things up today. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate. Baby, I just don't want to wait.
Oh, shoot. We're out of time. We can't talk Badgers. We will see if we can make that happen tomorrow.
Just finish that letter.
What letter do you keep referring to?
On social media. Aren't you on, like, Twitter, bruh?
I am. You're blurry again.
I am. It happens. Chris McIntosh wrote a letter to Badger Nation that's been making
after he got done talking
on
to the team. Apparently, according to the Wisconsin State Journal.
Allegedly, yeah.
Sounds like a good conversation for tomorrow with the Badgers outsider and Evan Cohen scheduled to appear. That is it for us today.
Or tonight on the Barry Alvarez Show at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Go Boone a Casino!
Yeah.
The Boone Bar.
That's so good.
Well done, Jason. Great drop. You killed it.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.